what I have done. Okay. So when I first started coming to church, they'd always say, I need people to volunteer to do such and such. I need people to help with this or that. And I used to sit on the seats and I'd go, they just want people to do their work. I'm being honest. That's human nature. We go, somebody else can do that. I have learned over the years, you'll see me in the middle of all kinds of stuff. You'll see me volunteer to help feed at the Kitchen of Hope. You'll see me volunteer to cook for welcome home dinner. You'll see me in the middle of all kinds of stuff. I have learned over the years that those times that they were trying to get me to volunteer to help, they were teaching me accountability. Every other day of the week, we wake up and we have no problems going to our job. We have no problems doing things in life we know we have to. But on Sundays when I wake up, the world is ending. That's the worst I've felt all week. I have 15 things I have to do. I'm being honest. I don't know if anybody else says it. This is me. And I go, I don't really have to get out of bed. I can watch this virtually. But by my responsibilities of being in the church, I was held accountable, and that got me here. If without that accountability, I'll be honest, I wouldn't be standing here now. Because it would be too easy to go, I'll go next week. Well, the next thing you know, you're turning from 1 week and then you're 2 months down the road and you go, how did I get here? Holiness standards exist to protect us, not to shame us when we fall short. Wow. So we think a lot of times with the holiness standards, we think of looking at somebody and going, oh yeah, they look holy. I was guilty of this. Once again, I can only use myself as example. Holiness starts on the inside. So when I was reading this and I went, okay, it's to protect us. Yeah, all those things as it tells me to do, all the things for me to be able to be who God wants me to be, I have to read my Bible daily. I have to pray daily. I have to fast. Let's be honest. Nobody likes to fast. I have to make myself fast. And people say that as in all of food. It's not all of food. There's things that I can fast to me that work so much better than a meal. I can skip meals, but maybe I'm not going to be playing the game on my phone. I mean, there's things that you can fast to be where God wants you to be. Distinction, transparency is not an excuse for sin. It's a pathway out of it. So when I was doing research on this and I seen that and it went a pathway out of it. And how appropriate. These classes are called the Pathway Series. It shows us steps to be able to take to get where we need to be. As people, as humans, in anything we do, it is so hard to be transparent because you feel like everybody's judging you. So I know that we move on from where we were in our past. Does that make sense? I know I am so much different than what I was whenever I first started coming to church. But Satan doesn't want me to forget what I used to do. I used to look at that as a downfall. Now I look at it and I pray this all the time. God, let me never forget from where you brought me from. We have to remain humble. It is not our place to look at anybody and judge their level of holiness or their level of where they are in the walk of God. Let's just be honest. We're all struggling together. It's plain and simple. Breaking the culture of pretending. The pretending. How many of you pretended that you were so thrilled to come to this class today? Well, it's the truth. And you went, oh. But then you get there and you go, I'm glad I went. So I pretend on all kinds of points of access in my life. I go, okay, I'm doing great. There's no room for improvement. I hit my job perfect today. If you worked with me, you would know I do not hit my job perfect, and I am like a dog chasing my tail a lot of times. But this also comes with your walk with God. You pretend that you're not as bad off as you really are. You put on the mask, as I like to say. If you hear me talk about stuff, I'll say, unscrew your customer service smile. You put on that smile. You're like, yeah, I'm good. We have to stop the pretending. We have to not be afraid to admit that we need help. in one of the last slides there, it talked about confessing your sins to your church family. Now, I don't want you to walk out of this room and run the sanctuary and say, guess what I did yesterday? I mean, it don't have to be that level, but you can't be afraid to reach out and seek help. If you're not going to the pastor and saying, can I talk to you? There is church members, church family, that whether you know it or not, have probably been almost exactly where you're at, that can help lead you and help take steps to where you want to be. We cannot get help for what we will not name. Wow. I was doing this and I went, Talking about feeling guilty right there. That was on me. So afraid to name what you need help with. We've become a society that it's hard for us a lot to admit failure. But what I've realized, your failure is one step closer to what you're trying to achieve. As I was doing some studying and reading, and I thought about all the people in the book of the Bible that have been failures. And y'all look at me like, what? So, biblical figures who modeled humility, but they were failures. They failed God in ways, but yet they humbled themselves. They had humility and said, I failed. Who are some of those people? Moses, David, Paul. Some of the big names in the Bible that you think about are all these people that were failures. Temptation. Understanding the battle. We think of temptation and we think that we are full of sin because we're being tempted. Let's be honest. Temptation is not a sin. If you look in Hebrews 4 and 15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. James 1, 14 through 15. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Being tempted means you're in the fight and not already lost. I always tell people this, and people look at me like I'm crazy. If you're not in a fight, you're doing something wrong. That's the truth of the matter. If you are complacent and happy with everything that's happening, you're not moving forward as God wants you to. I know it sounds kind of extreme, right? That's just what I've realized in my walk. When I'm complacent, when I'm sitting there and going, oh, everything are roses and unicorns and rainbows, then that means God's trying to get me to do something and I'm refusing. I'm just being honest, because Satan's not fighting me. I know that sounds pretty extreme, but that's just what I've learned in my walk. Tools against temptation. The Holy Ghost power. As our teacher last week taught us, Brother Feathers, was about the Holy Ghost. And let's just be honest, our scripture that we mainly think of is Acts 2:38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We think a lot of times we have to fight on our own. That we have to, well, I say we. I'm talking about me here. I can only use me as an example again. I think I can do everything on my own. I can't. A lot of the battles I fight spiritually, even in my daily walk of life, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, there is no way I could achieve it. So whenever you're standing there and you go, wait a minute, how did I even do that? Where did that even come from? I've realized a lot of times that's the Holy Ghost speaking through us. Whenever I just want to take a turn around and smack somebody, the Holy Ghost is saying, okay, no, hold on. And then you'll say something, you'll go, how did that even come out of my mouth? Well, pretty simple, that wasn't me. That was the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost helping me. Weapons of fasting and prayer. Matthew 17 to 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by, but by prayer and fasting. Oh, that prayer and fasting. So you can fast, but if you're not praying, are you really getting anything out of that fast? I can pray, and I have to pray every day. But if I'm praying and I'm asking God to move and He's not moving like I feel like I need Him to, why do not I not automatically think about going ahead and fasting? Does anybody else do that? Unfortunately, I'm very stubborn-headed. I know that's surprising, right? A lot of times I will get to the point where it's like, I need an answer now before my brain goes, why haven't you been fasting? Sword of the word. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So I have the attention span, as I tell my students at school, of a cheese sandwich. That means I can have my attention, you can have my attention, for maybe 10, 15 minutes. Then I'm going to start fidgeting. I'm messing with something. I'm everywhere. With the word of God, I would like to tell you that I'm different. I'm not. I have a very short attention span. So in saying that, when you're reading the Bible and you get to a part and you go, I have no clue what this is talking about. I first got in church, that really bothered me because I went, why am I not understanding the Bible? Our pastor that we used to have before, Pastor Dainsworth we have now, he was up there teaching one night, and I beat myself up about this for months at a time, that I could not understand why I was not understanding parts of the Bible. It bothered me. My attention span, once again, is very short. So I would read, I'd get upset that I couldn't figure it out. I'd go do something else, and I'd come back and try to read the same thing. Still wouldn't get it. So at this point, I'm feeling like I'm stupid. I'm just being honest. I'm like, what is my problem? So the pastor we used to have, he got up there and he was teaching one day, and he goes, you may read part of the Bible and not understand it at all. I thought, that's me. He's talking about me. God done told him I'm not understanding the Bible, is what I'm sitting here thinking. And he goes, but you may come back next month and read that same passage, and automatically it'll click with you, and you'll know exactly what the Bible is saying. The Word of God. Did I stop reading the Bible? No, just to let you know, I still read the Bible. The Word of God, just because you read it one time, doesn't mean you're automatically supposed to take and get it at that moment. Different parts of your walk with God, you'll read a scripture and you'll go, yeah. 2 months later, I may come back and be in a different battle and read that same scripture and go, thank you, Jesus. That's exactly what I'm facing right now. So we have to remember to take and keep on reading. It calls it the sword of the word. Why is it called the sword? Anybody know?
Cuts.
It cuts. What else? It tells us to put on our armor. There we go. Accountability and covering by pastor in the church community. Ah, that accountability. So, I get in trouble all the time. Not just here. In life. You'll hear a pastor talk and he'll say, yeah, I was out there talking to trouble. Well, more than likely he's talking about me. I'm just being honest with you. It's not that I do it to be rebellious, but I am very boisterous, as I said when I first started speaking here. I'm very straightforward. But also, if I see something that I feel is not right or need to be done better, I'm going to be the person to speak. I'm not saying that's always right. By no means. I do get myself in trouble. And I've learned over time, just because it's the truth doesn't mean that I'm supposed to be the one to say it. But I hold myself accountable a lot. If I'm not holding myself accountable, who's going to? When it says covering by pastor in your church family, I don't have to sit here and build Pastor Dainsworth up. We know how great he is. But when I tell you, you can honestly go and ask him whatever, and he's going to give you his honest and maybe blunt answer. Because I'm that person that says, will you be brutally honest with me? Don't sugarcoat, don't beat around the bush. The covering our pastor and our church community, our church family, I have troubles with this because I do not want everybody to know my business. I'm just being honest. I don't want everybody to know what I'm doing. But I also get in trouble with that. I find myself, by me not wanting everybody to know what I'm doing, to me, taking myself from doing fellowship with my church family. And then if you're not fellowshiping with your church family, you are going to be talking to somebody. So if it's not your church family, what kind of outside worldly influence are you letting in? Who are you hanging around with? I'm just being honest. Patterns and triggers. Identifying personal weak points and run to God first. Okay, once again, I consider myself not too smart sometimes. But I don't know if anybody else does this. So you're having a rough time. You've read your scripture. You know all this. You're doing everything you do. You're still failing. You know you're failing because you're not going forward like you need to. Anybody else think they do it all before they ever go to God? That's me. I'm like, I can fix this. I can do it. You know, y'all do that? So whenever I was doing this, now I went, run to God first. I was like, boy, I still need to learn that. 19 years in, Lisa. A little bit slow here. But we do that as human nature. Because we've learned in our lives, in our job, in our families, with our kids, no matter what it is you're doing, you've become the fixer. So God has put me in place a lot of times and go, this is not your place to fix this. This is mine. So I find myself, once again, very stubborn. But when I do that, I have learned to seek God first. I have a prayer I say every day. God, give me the ears to hear, the voice to speak, the heart to feel, the feet to move, the hands to work, the mind to understand and remember. Every part of me needs to be something that he's willing to use. But also I have another prayer. Lord, let me speak as you want me to and not as I want to. I'm being honest. Because he has much better ideas than I do. And he's right a lot more than I am too. Y'all are going to leave this class and go, man, that woman is crazy. Yeah, you already knew. You ain't even got to whisper that. I heard that. So our next slide is weakness, where grace lives. Paul's theology of weakness. We have 2 Corinthians 7 through 10. Really? What do y'all think about that? That was me. That wasn't even the technology. I did that. You know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that forgiveness. I need that forgiveness. So 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, it says, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. 1 Corinthians 1 and 27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Wow. So in your weakness and what you feel you're weak about, God can still use you in mighty things. That gives me hope. That gives me hope. Distinctives on grace and holiness. Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All men. Not just the godly ones. Not just the ones that we feel holy. Not the just the ones that we feel deserve it. To what? To all men. We have Romans 8 and 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What weakness teaches us? I hope it teaches you something, because I still struggle sometimes. It teaches us dependence on God. Boy, does it ever. And compassion for others. I have compassion for others. Once again, you'll see me volunteering for all kinds of stuff. But I also have a limit. If I see you do something 3 times in a row and you didn't learn anything, my compassion is about right here. Oh my. Thank God he's not like Adam. We have to remember, once again, we all have different walks. Even though we have different walks, we have different phases too. Today, I may be here in my walk with God. The next time you see me next week, I might be right here. Because we don't know what that week threw at me. We don't know if I was praying like I was supposed to. We don't know if I was fasting. And we don't know who I wanted to smack that week. I'm just being honest. So I have to, it's probably him every day, just to let you know. That's my husband right there. In saying that, we have to remember that it doesn't matter how many times this person may have done something or how many times they may have fell short. We still have to have compassion because we don't know what they've been through. We don't know where they're at. Hope. And as you see, I have hope, the anchor. Finished work and ongoing work. As you see here, the next scripture I have is Romans 8:1. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have Lamentations 3:22-23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fall not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Man, right there. That also gives me hope. When is it new? Every morning. When?
Every morning.
Man. Repentance is a gift, not punishment. As you see there, once again, I have Acts 2:38. I didn't type that scripture out again. Let's just be honest. Most of us could take and quote that without even looking at that scripture. But it also gives me Luke 15:21-24. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called my son. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best,
well, as you can see there, robe. I forgot how to top, obviously.
And put on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We get so sidetracked a lot of times, and I hear, you know, we sit and hear a message with pastor, and a lot of times we'll hear him talk about repentance. And I will sit back in my seat, and I will say, okay, he's talking to somebody else, not talking to me. I'm being honest. And then I'll go, okay, Lisa, he's talking to you too. Every day we need to repent. We know this. We've heard this 3,000 times. But if you're anything like me, once again, you'll go, yeah, I'm good. What did I do today? Remember how I said, who did I think about smacking that day? I still need to repent for that. Even though we may think, hey, I didn't do anything today, we are still of flesh. Every one of us, we are. And we don't need to be embarrassed about that repentance. There's days we'll do stuff, and once again,
that day I may thought I'd do great, but
I still need to repent. And there's other days that I know I did wrong. I shouldn't be embarrassed about those days. I'm just being honest. It's not okay for me to sin, but I'm saying that even no matter how far we slip backwards, there's always a way to go forwards. Holding on to hope in a real way. So as you see there, Hebrews 6 and 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
I'm usually really fast at this, I'll just be honest with you, because the more nervous I get, the faster I talk. Plain and simple.
But as I was doing this, I went, okay, I had to slow it down just a little bit. And I only talk about me because, let's just be honest, my husband has to deal with me a lot. And if I talk about him, he's probably going to get offended.
Or some of my friends in this room, they might get mad too. So I'll just talk about me.
So this last slide you'll see here, I'm sorry, I needed my notes at the bottom or I would just do a slideshow for you. It says, call to honesty and hope together. To what? Together. We're each other's support system. You may never hear me talk to me again after a day. You might be like, this woman is absolutely insane. But if you came to me and said, Lisa, I'm having trouble with such and such, can I talk to you? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, absolutely. And if you tell me something and I'm not able to help you, I'm going to say, you know what? I know so-and-so that's had a lot of this same issues. How would you like to talk to them? We have to be each other's support system. Honesty without hope leads to despair. I think we've had enough to despair, huh? Hope without honesty leads to superficiality. What does that mean? Only skin deep. Together, they produce the kind of believer who is real, resilient, and growing. Over my years of doing this, when I tell you I have a past, I would not be a liar. Boy, what a testimony I have. Do I always tell everybody my testimony? I don't. Because it's not always for everybody to hear. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not going to give God the glory for what he's done for me, but I can say or tell you my testimony and you might be looking at me going, man. But you didn't need that. You didn't have anything in your life. Does that make sense? You didn't have anything in your life that needed that reflection to. But when people talk to me and I say, this is what I've done in my life, they'll look at me and go, wow. Is it for my glory? No. It's for God's. That is what's made me real. That's what's made me resilient. But that is also the reason I have to keep on growing. By no means will I ever stay right here the rest of my life with my walk with God. That's just the honest truth of the matter. Am I going to try? Absolutely. Am I going to strive to be perfect like God wants me to? Absolutely. But what about when I don't? That's the whole purpose of this lesson today. When I don't, guess what? God's still going to be there. I can still get back up to this level and I don't have to stay down here. And to be honest, Satan's going to tell you everybody's looking at you different. That's not true. If they're looking at you different, it's because they're going, wow, look what God can do. Just being honest. So the last thing I have on here is things to think about. Oh boy, this is where you have to talk to me. Aren't you excited? The first question I had after doing all this, I went, wow, now I'm inspired. I'm ready to. So my first question, are you ready to stop hiding? To start receiving. And to walk forward in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm ready. Does that mean I'll be ready tomorrow? Boy, I hope so. If not, I can look back at this and say, okay, I now have tools to know how to move forward. Are you all ready? Nobody going to answer me?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. What can you do to personally grow closer to God? And everything I've said today, is there one of those things you looked at that and went, you know what? I need to do that more. Well, I can tell you what mine is. I need to listen more. I always think I'm right. I always think I have the best idea. And I always think I'm going to do it better than you. I'm just being honest with you. That's me. Well, guess what? That doesn't work with God. Because I am not going to be better than him. He is definitely going to do it better than me. So I have learned I have to listen more. I have found in my prayer life, I'll talk and talk and talk, and I'll pray, and then I'll go, you know what? It's time to listen. I've had to train myself to do that. I can sit and talk to God all day long, but if I'm not listening to what He wants me to do, am I really accomplishing anything? Anybody in here have anything that they think they can do better to grow closer to God? Crickets. I should put that on here. Absolutely.
When you were talking about the heroes in the Bible, the people that we look up to in the Bible, heroes, and they have failures, and we can read those stories and we see them, but we know that there's an ending, like there is some, God uses it or they overcome it in some way.
Yes.
And me personally, I am so easy to read that and go, yeah, they messed up, but look what God did. Look what God did. But I am very, I kind of realizes today, I am not good at seeing that in my own life.
Yes.
I see my failures only, and I don't see, but look what God can do. Oh, you know, this is my weakness. I need to go praise God and go, God, you're going to use this. I don't know what you're going to do, but I messed up, and you're going to use this, and I can't wait. I'm not excited about that. I'm hurting because of the failure, and I have a spiritual blinder to what God can do with that. So I am easy to overlook the failures of people in the Bible. But I am not easy to overlook the failures in my own life.
Absolutely. Very well said. That was awesome. Anybody else? No? What are some things you can do to change how you respond to failure, temptation, and even weakness? Anything that you know particular that you can do different to respond to failure?
I personally need to think before I speak.
Absolutely.
I need to think about what I'm about to say before I open my mouth.
Yeah. That's my prayer of, Lord, let me speak as you want me to, not as I want to.
And yeah. Try my best not to do it with an attitude to my spouse.
Man, am I supposed to do that too? Okay. I understand that. I get it. Absolutely. It really is.
Is we will go to everyone else. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I'm struggling with, will you pray for me? But sometimes in that, we almost put the responsibility of God's responses in the hands of other people. Because we're not seeking Him with someone else to answer the prayer.
Absolutely.
We are passing our troubles into their bucket for them to deliver the prayer. And I think, just my opinion, that we can get lost on hearing the response from God because we're not the one who prayed it. We have someone else to pray it. And then we sit around and go, why can't I hear you? You're not talking to me. You're talking to everyone else and having them talk to me for you. And I don't know if any of you have children, but like when they come in, they have their earbuds in, and you want to know how their day is, but they can't hear me and even ask because they have earbuds in. So then, if they've had a bad day, I can clearly see the door is slamming, the book that's thrown on the couch, you know, the refrigerator, you know. And I'm like, hey, I clearly see you had a bad day. You don't have to tell me. I can see it all over you. But talk to me about it, because I'm your mom and I love you. He is a good father. He doesn't always want us to just pass it over and not come to Him. But He is a come home, come talk to me, God. And I think that is another way to help fight the weaknesses and temptations we have, because we can get lost in everything. Others fight for us.
Absolutely. That was good. Anybody else?
I think just realizing what you started with is, like, we're all going to fail. Like, it's inevitable. I mean, but the thing about the power of God, like, first of all, the Bible says, my righteousness is filthy rags. There's nothing that I can do to make myself really more righteous. I mean, I can pray more. I can, like you can, but at the end of the day, I get my righteousness from God, from His leading. And you know, you think about the story with the prodigal son. I think you actually spoke about it, but you know, he failed and said, give me my inheritance. And he went and lived a riotous life. He did whatever he wanted to do, spent it all up. Then he realized where he was at and went back home. And the father didn't beat on him. He didn't curse him. He welcomed him home and he threw a party for him. So in our failures, we always kind of shut down. Like you said, we stayed out of this level. But God's, he's always wanting us to get back where we were. You know, if you get knocked out on the sideline on the 50-yard line, you don't come back in on the 30. You come back in on the 50. So just think about that. And like I don't respond to failure good either. Like, I don't think any of us do. We don't like to fail, but I will fail.
Yes.
And it's important to know that God is enough to get me through it. So
absolutely. Awesome. Well, we got one more question. Can you give some examples of situations in your life where you use biblical principles to overcome and move forward? So as I was doing these questions, I thought, you know what, people's not going to want to say a lot of this stuff, but that's the reason there's lines on your paper. So if you want to answer these questions and write it down for yourself, that's awesome. If anybody would like to answer that question now, by all means, you can. Anybody have anything? Yes, no, maybe. Well, my time's up anyway. Surprisingly, I went as I was supposed to. I'll be honest with you. This took about 15 minutes whenever I did this at home because I love to speak fast. Next week, the class is going to be taught by Sister Kay Johnson. I think so. Kay, is it your class next week?
I'm sorry.
Is it your class next week?
My class next week.
Yes. So we'll be loving to hear hers. Thank you all for coming today. Thanks for dealing with me.